The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Experience the difference. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Discover hope and healing from the other side. Welcome to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesman.
Listen, they're all around you, close as a thought or a memory. Messages of Hope.
Messages of Hope. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Messages of Hope. As always, I'm very excited to share with all of you today a little bit of a different show, one that everyone can relate to, however, all about the mystical events that occur in our lives that often go ignored or unnoticed. We're going to be talking today with a friend of mine who I met in one of my classes. Her name is Emily Radovich, and she's going to talk about how we become aware of these spontaneous happenings and how they can change our lives. I want to tell you that I met Emily when I was teaching my mediumship class, and just found her delightful. In fact, why don't I bring her in right now, and then I'll share about the beautiful synchronicity, the mystical interlude that brought us together. So, Emily, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm happy to be here with you again, Suzanne. And yes, it was a synchronistic happening.
It was indeed. In fact, I never asked you, maybe I know, but how did you find my class? How did you find me in the class?
Well, I've been an admirer of yours, and so I would check in with your website, and I saw the class on your website. So I talked to my friend Nancy, and we signed up as soon as we could.
Okay. So I remember being in the hotel room. I was teaching the class in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and I'm sitting in my hotel room and something said, go to the lobby now. And I went out and there you and your friend Nancy were, and I could tell right away by the way you looked up at me, I said, those two are in my class. And we got to talking and I just loved your energy. And in the class the next day, I believe that's when you gave me a copy of your book. Isn't that right?
Actually, it was on Sunday afternoon. It was the last day of class.
Okay, right. So I'm not sure about that because I know I stayed up late reading it, and I really should have gotten to bed because I thought I was
That's
teaching.
Right.
But yeah.
And you stayed overnight on Monday night.
Yeah. So Emily's book.
Sunday night, yeah.
Her book is called Mystical Interludes, An Ordinary Person's Extraordinary Experiences. It's actually her first book, and there's now Mystical Interludes 2. But I had taken along for the weekend personal reading of my own, and when she gave me that book, people are often giving me books that they've written, and again, that inner voice said, start reading the book. So I got in bed after class, and I started reading, and I couldn't put it down. Emily is a former high school English teacher, so clearly knows how to write well, but it was so much more than that. Her joy, her understanding of who we are and how this all works. Emily, it just came through in your book, and you want to tell them what happened the next morning?
Yes. Well, the big part of synchronicity for Nancy and me is the fact that we came with the intention of leaving right after your class on Sunday. But it was raining, and we received a little notice under our door that for a price we couldn't refuse, we could stay an extra night, and that would include breakfast the next morning. And we said, hey, let's stay. Well, we thought that you and all the people in the class were gone, and we didn't expect to see a soul. So on Monday, that's the first thing. We had no intention of being there on Monday. Monday morning, we walk into the restaurant with our little free meal voucher, and who is sitting there but Suzanne Giesman? And we we were thrilled when we saw you. But what happened next was the big surprise, because you looked up with this big grin on your face and you said, I knew you would come. And you asked us to join you.
And then I remember sitting there and discussing your book and all the magical things. And what was really funny was the other book that I had brought along for personal reading, you brought that book up at the breakfast table about how fascinating it was and what you'd been reading. So the connections right off the bat were there. So let's talk about mystical interludes for everybody's sake. What are they? And why do you use that term?
Okay. Well, the reason I use the term is this. When I was 18, Suzanne, I had a near-death experience. But I was living in the in the days when you didn't talk about such things. As a matter of fact, you could even be put in an insane asylum for discussing these things. So I kept it to myself, and I didn't. I wanted to tell my mother about it. I had no language. When Dr. Moody came out in 1975 and coined the term near-death experience, I was ecstatic. So realizing a need for language, I want people to talk about these things, so I have coined the term mystical interlude.
Now, but it's far more than a near-death experience, though.
It is. In my vernacular, that term covers everything from a coincidence, synchronicity, clairvoyance, lucid dreams, visions, hearing a voice, out-of-body experience, near-death experience. It covers the whole gamut. So if someone says, I had a mystical interlude, that classifies it. And then they can hone in and talk about the specifics of it. Now, a mystical interlude, to define it, I define it as a spontaneous, unexplainable experience through which you discover a knowing which changes you or your circumstances. And that can apply to just about all of these.
And when you say a knowing of what?
A knowing, first of all, the knowing becomes very clear the more you experience these things. But let's say for the very first time, you recognize something in a coincidence. Well, you don't understand it, but within you, you know that something intervened, something happened there, okay? Mm-hmm. So it can be as slight as that. Let's go to a near-death experience. People return from near-death experiences knowing that there is no death, that and there is nobody waiting at the gate to judge you. And so a knowing comes depending on the experience. So I say that mystical interludes have three basic defining traits, and they are timing, discovery, and change. Timing is, most mystical interludes, Suzanne, are spontaneous.
Okay.
You don't plan them, just like our meeting that morning.
Right.
We certainly didn't plan any of that. You didn't plan to read my book that night. They are spontaneous, for one thing. Throughout a mystical interlude, you discover something. And it can be very, very slight, or it can be quite major. And the other, again, is a matter of degree, the other trait is change. something changes. Maybe it's your perception. Maybe it's your circumstance. Maybe it's both. But this is how I define what a mystical interlude is.
And I love that you have this blanket term for that, because you're right. This covers the whole gamut of what I call just wondrous, awesome experiences. I call them also no other explanation experiences than that we are all part of a greater reality, one big web that crosses realities. And the synchronistic event when we ended up meeting in the dining room and it led to the book and many other synchronicities, I call those God winks. But
yes.
that's just one little thing. But then near-death experiences would be at the far end of that as one of the really big events that is far more than just a synchronicity. Yet I love your definition here that comes without planning. There's discovery involved and change. Wow. So go ahead.
I was just going to say what you said something a second ago that triggered this. One of the reasons that I came up with the term was when I was trying to decide what to call this memoir of 10 different personal extraordinary events, I kept wondering, what can I call this? And during a shower one day, the words mystical interlude dropped into my mind, and I looked them up, and mystical means something which produces a sense of awe.
Yeah.
An interlude means an intervention of time or space.
Perfect. And this is like my work as a medium every day. When I do a reading, that's a mystical interlude, because we're showing people that we do have this greater connection, and it always generates a feeling of awe. So I love that. I love that it came to you in the shower. I have a lot of people who I talk with who tell me that they have some of their greatest insights when they're in water or water's rushing over their body for some reason. It's pretty cool. Now, so you mentioned that mystical interludes is 10 different personal events. So that's in your life that convinced
right.
you that there is something more. But now you just, I think just last month, your latest book came out, and that's Mystical Interludes 2. Tell us how that one changes.
Well, the first book, I had no intention of writing a book. And I was a babe in the woods, and I just plodded along. But when I went to publish it, all of a sudden, everything fell into place. The title came when I needed an editor and a publisher, showed up, and then I got this nudge at the end of the book that I needed to do more. And I kept thinking, what more do I need to do? I didn't understand. And the next thing I knew, I was writing an invitation at the end of that book with a prediction that everybody has mystical interludes. They're in all our lives, whether we recognize it or not, they happen. So I invite the readers to, if they don't have enough to write a book as I did, to send their experiences, and I would publish them in my next book. So that is how Mystical Interludes came along. Mystical Interludes 2 came along. And I'm so thrilled with the book, Suzanne, because
it, you should be.
Thank you. It verifies exactly what I said. The stories came rolling in, and I have an amen feeling about it. Yes.
Yeah, and I love it because I love these kind of stories. I know that all of us do. And listening to you talk, Emily, I can just feel everybody listening now saying, well, that's happened to me. Well, let me tell you my story. This is what happens when I speak at events. People come up and they so want to share these magical moments. And the fact is that they're not magic at all. This is reality, and we want to tell the world. So you've given people a way to do that. And your book reminds me so much of those books I used to love picking up the guidepost stories with all the stories of people who felt that they had touched God. And right. In the Chicken Soup for the Soul type series, they're uplifting. And all of your stories in this new Mystical Interludes too do that. These are ordinary people having extraordinary experiences.
Right. And the thing about the stories, Suzanne, none of them are sanitized. You hear the voices of the writers in every story. So they are the authors. I have done very little with their stories. And that's one of the things that I love about the book. But yeah. One of the things, something else that I would like to touch upon before I get into maybe sharing some of the stories with you is why I believe that these mystical interludes and realizing them is important.
Okay.
And that is because I have this in my first book, the words from a Methodist minister. He said to me, Emily, until you have had a personal experience with God, you don't really believe in God. You only believe in the idea of God. And you can substitute, you know, for God, you can substitute source or spirit or higher power or creator, whatever your inclination is mm-hmm. there. But I have found that to be so true. And the reason I believe that mystical interludes are so important is because they are experiences. And experiences yeah. are usually quite real. You cannot deny that you had that experience. Now, how you interpret it, what it means to you, is perhaps your personal choice. I have an example of that I can give you.
Sure. Let me just remind everybody, anybody who came into the show late, we're talking with author Emily Radovich, and you can find out more from her website, emilyradovich.com, and that's EmilyRodovich.com, or just like her two book titles, mysticalinterludes.com. So please share that story.
Okay, this is from my first book. And this shows you two sides. I just said to you, when things happen, some people, they have that knowing and they recognize the timing and the discovery and so on. And then another person might be totally oblivious. So this is a story from my first book, Suzanne, I think that shows that. In 2007, my mother passed away, and I know yours did recently. And it doesn't matter where you are, you still experience that grief. And I know you probably are still going through that. She passed in April, and this was in about July, and I was just in the clutches of grief. It was so bad that I couldn't cry. And then on this particular day, I got news that one of my dear friends, who was the godmother to my firstborn, passed, and she was living in North Carolina when she passed. And my grief intensified. So I went out to our deck, and it faces trees and bird feeders and so on, and I just sat down in a chair, and I thought, I'm just going to allow myself to feel as bad as I feel. And I wanted so badly to cry, but I couldn't. I put my face in my hands, and finally I raised my head, and I looked out, and there on a three-columned bird feeder on the bottom left rung sat an indigo bird. Now, I have never, ever seen an indigo bird except probably in an aviary. And here we are in Pennsylvania, and I look out and I see this bird. Well, the significance of that was that Indigo blue was my mother's signature color. Mm-hmm. She had white hair, and she always wore indigo. In fact, she was buried in an indigo blue suit.
Mm-hmm.
So soon as I saw that, I, because of my experience, I recognized that this sudden appearance of this indigo blue bird, my mother's signature color, I'd never seen it before, and there it's sitting, and it hasn't eaten a thing.
And the timing of it with you just really in grief and thinking about her at that moment, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. And my sense, and I knew, I had this sense of knowing. So my beloved Jim comes out onto the deck, and I look, and I'm so joyful. I start to cry because I feel better. And so Jim, I said, "Look at this bird," and he goes, "Isn't that interesting?" Well. He was interested in the species. He went and looked it up and found out the name of the bird is the indigo bunting. Okay.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So I get in my car the next day. I drive by myself to North Carolina and attend the service. I get back from North Carolina, and all I can think of, and I asked him before I left, please keep your eye out for the bird, because it left after a while. So I come back from North Carolina exhausted, and as soon as I came in, I asked Jim if the bunting had returned, and he said, no, it hadn't. He was sorry. He said, why don't you go on out to the deck, and I'll bring us out a glass of wine. And so I said, that was great. So I go out to the deck, and I'm busy arranging the table and the chairs, and I sat down, just plopped down, looked up, and there sits the indigo bunting again.
Well, of course it did.
So Jim comes out, and I said, look at that. And again, it picked me right up. And of course, he just said, oh, that's interesting, very curious. Well, meanwhile, I shared this story with my daughter, and she, she said, oh, Mom, how I would love for Grandma to get in touch with me, to give me a sign. And then I talked to her a week later. She said, I've been looking everywhere for an indigo bunting, and I haven't seen one. Well, as it turns out, her friend Veronica's father died. Now, here we go, Suzanne. Veronica was my mother's first name.
Uh-huh.
So my daughter is helping Veronica clean out the house in order to put it up on the market. And so she was in the father's bedroom, and she was getting clothes out of the closet. So she had a big bundle of clothes in her arm, and she's walking out, and she lost her balance, and she stumbled, and she bumped into the wall. And when she turned her head and looked at the wall, she was looking at the image of an indigo bunting.
Oh, I love it. Anybody else have goosebumps? Yeah, I love the stumbling just at that moment. Now, you know, skeptics and people that just have perhaps hardened their emotions a bit might say, right. Oh, that's just a coincidence, but we know better.
Well, that's what Jim would have said. this is where the story gets even better. Because she called me and shared that with me. And she said to me, I know what you mean, Mom. I had that knowing. It was spontaneous and so on. So we had a good time talking about that. Now let's fast forward to Labor Day. In between these things, and we live on our deck in the summertime, there was no other sighting of an indigo bunting. Mm-hmm. Here it is, Labor Day comes. Now, here, picture, you have me who receives these things and lights up from them, and then you have Jim, who is completely on the other side.
Right.
The whole family is on the deck, right? Mm-hmm. Kara looks at me, and she asked me if I'd seen any more of the indigo buntings, and I said, no, we haven't. So a couple of the people there didn't know what we were talking about. They asked about it. We told the story. And I was just finishing up. Kara is standing in front of me, and she's looking out toward the trees and the bird feeder, and her jaw drops, and she goes, "Oh, Mom, turn around and look." And there sat the indigo bunting on the third rung, the first rung of the third column, same place, just sat there.
Way to go, Mom.
And I ran into the house, grabbed a camera, and snapped a picture. And that is the indigo bird on the cover of my book.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. Wow. Yeah. What an unusual bird. Now that makes sense to me. Yeah.
It came from the photograph.
And, you know, I want to comment, just so that all of you listening understand, that her daughter, she asked that question, you know, "Mom, have you seen the bird lately?" Now, why did she ask that at that exact moment? It's because our thoughts are not all our own. And clearly, her grandmother knew that she was going to guide that bird into their sight in just a minute. And can't you just see her in the background rubbing her hands together saying, "This is going to be good. We just wait till they see this bird." Now, we're going to go for a break here in just a few seconds, but I just want to invite you all to come back with us for the second half of the show. We're talking with author Emily Radovich about her wonderful two books, Mystical Interludes and Mystical Interludes 2. The first, her own wonderful stories, and the second, a collection of other people's magical moments of showing that we are part of something so much more. So we're going to come back and hear more wonderful stories from Emily that just lift our hearts. So we will just see you in a few moments.
Discover the power within. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
As Unity Online Radio continues to expand its programming and outreach around the world, we depend on the generosity of listeners like you. If you enjoy the programming, please make your donation today by going to unityonlineradio.org and click on Donate. Thank you for your support.
Here's a Unity Mindful Moment with Catherine Ponder, taken from a classic talk called The Prosperous Truth, recorded at Unity of Austin in 1991.
God is extravagant supply. Get that, extravagant. God is extravagant supply. He brings forth the best robe. He spreads a banquet table, as we saw last night, with good things on which we may feast. He overflows our cup. He opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. And then this is what that Unity Correspondence Course said. Why are you satisfied with such meager living when you may have so much?
To find out more about Unity teachings, visit unity.org.
Did you know you can reach Unity's 24/7 prayer ministry online? You don't even have to give your name to know the prayers have begun for you or those you love. Someone has been praying around the clock at Silent Unity since 1890, and every request is taken into prayer for 30 days. Why not let us pray with you too? To submit your prayer request to Silent Unity online, go to unity.org and click on prayer, or call 816-969-2000.
Here's a Unity Mindful Moment. Unity founder Charles Fillmore is quoted as saying, "Here is a mental treatment guaranteed to cure every ill. Sit for half an hour every night and mentally forgive everyone against whom you have any ill will. The act of forgiveness is powerful medicine. Is there someone in your life that you can work on forgiving? Try this exercise tonight. To forgive is to set yourself free." Find out more about Unity at unity.org.
Would you like to experience more peace and joy in your life through A Course in Miracles? Let Reverend Jennifer Hadley support you in discovering the powerful life lessons available through this unique spiritual thought system that teaches the way to love and peace is through forgiveness. Join Jennifer every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central for A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk, to experience the healing for yourself on Unity Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Call now with your question or comment, 816-251-3555. That's 816-251-3555.
Welcome back. You're listening to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesemann.
Welcome back. I hope you're enjoying this show as much as I am with guest Emily Radovich talking about mystical interludes, the magical moments that show us we are connected to something so much more. Please run out and get her books, both of them, Mystical Interludes and Mystical Interludes 2. You can find that at her website, mysticalinterludes.com. Pretty easy to remember. Now, Emily, just before the break, you were telling this wonderful story about this indigo bunting bird that made it very clear to you your mother was trying to connect with you and communicate with you. And did that change anything for your husband?
Well, it changed a lot for me. It picked me up beautifully. But Jim, of course, the first two times, he was rather blasé. Oh, you know, that's nice, a nice little coincidence. Mm-hmm. Well, the third time, he was with the family. He was with us on the deck. And when the bunting appeared the third time, I looked over and I saw his face. And I said, do you still believe this is still such a mere coincidence? And he laughed. And I said, now go figure. I said, it's the timing that makes the difference.
Yeah.
And he shook his head and he said, I think I'm starting to get it.
Yay.
So,
yes.
So yeah. the more you are exposed to these, the more you recognize them.
And that's the beauty of your book. I mean, this one story after another, and I love books like this, Mystical Interludes too, because it's perfect reading for bedtime rather than watching the depressing news and going to or watching some shoot 'em up, bang 'em up movie right before you close your eyes. You can just pick this up and read one story a night and go to sleep with this uplifting, awe-filled thought in your mind. It's great.
Thank you, Suzanne.
And speaking of uplifting, Emily, so many people will hear you and you're such a positive person. You can feel your beautiful energy. And I met you in person and I knew that right away. I could feel it. So it's funny that in your first book that deals mostly with your story, you start right off by saying, I'm not a Pollyanna. And I just love that. And your story is not all happy, was it, your life?
No, not at all. And that's, I had some, I went through some dark nights in my life, but to me, it's a crisis that inspires evolution. We learn through our struggles, and we grow through them. And, a near-death experience. When I had my near-death experience, I was dying, I think. And I write about it in the book. I don't want to go into it here.
Well, why don't you? Because, again, it's a mystical interlude. If you just want to just give us the abbreviated version so we can share a lot of stories here.
Okay. I was 18 years old, and I had a weird reaction to an allergy shot. And I was cold instead of warm and so on. But at any rate, my body started to swell. And I was 4 or 5 or even 6 times larger than my normal body.
Ouch.
I was so swollen, Suzanne, that my skin split, my skin and my everywhere just split. It couldn't handle the swelling. Mm-hmm. And I could hardly breathe. I couldn't see. Everything was swollen. And I would go out. I would go unconscious. And the doctor came. He couldn't do a thing for me. And the last words I heard before my NDE, the doctor was at my side and with my mother, and he said, "Veronica, all we can do is pray. I can't do a thing. I can't move her. I can't give her a shot. She can't take a pill. There's nothing." And that was the last thing I remembered. And the next thing I knew, I was on a train in space, in dark space. But I was on this train with other people whom I could see. I was seeing their backs. And they didn't move, and they were older men and women, and the women had dark dresses and hats with dark veils. And I felt great, and I wasn't frightened. And the next thing I knew, a conductor came down, and I started to ask him questions. And I asked him if these people were dead. Now, what's significant here, Suzanne, is mm-hmm. the fact that at that time in my life, I was so terrified of death because I had been traumatized as a child with our dear neighbor dying. And I went to visit her, and I thought she was there, and her daughter took me to the casket instead of the mother, the living mother, and it was devastating.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, I had a terrifying fear of death. And so I asked the conductor, I said, "Could these people be dead? Where are we going?" And he said, "You'll see." And the train came to a stop. And he told me that he would come back and get me, that these folks were getting off the train. He would come and get me. So they went up to the door opened, and I could see them going up the aisle. He came back and took my hand, and Suzanne, as we followed them, I saw maybe three or four people in front of me when that door opened. The light outside that door was just indescribable. Every near-death experiencer tries to define or describe the light, and it's more than light, it's music, it's color, it's alive, it's everything. And I watched these people step off the train and completely merge in that light.
Mm.
And beyond the light, I could see outlines of little buildings, and they looked like the biblical buildings that you see in children's books, the little rounded domes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So just in that vision, as I saw that, I knew, and here comes the knowing, I knew that these people were alive and that they were merging and becoming a part of the oneness of the light. But because there were houses, that indicated to me that these folks still kept their own identity in some way.
Well, I love that.
And I knew all of that at one time, at once, and I wanted so badly to follow them, but the conductor said, "No, you may not leave, Emily." But I took one more peek, and I looked around the door, and on one of these small buildings, Suzanne, I saw this gigantic angel, and it was a male. And I was so surprised. I said to the conductor, "Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that there were male angels. I thought all angels were female." And that's because I had the picture of a female angel that hung above my crib and above my bed most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. And I came back so filled with joy that, and I couldn't express it. I couldn't speak. The swelling had gone down considerably, but I was still in pretty bad shape. I couldn't talk. And tears were coming, rolling out of my eyes, and my poor mother was there. She was swabbing me with cloth, trying to unstick me from the sheets because where my skin had split, there was a clear liquid oozing. Anyway, and she thought I was in pain and poor thing, and she's looking at me, and I wanted to say, wait, no, I can't wait to, this is so wonderful.
Wow. Do you credit that with the beautiful light that you radiate now, or have you always been this way?
I was this way a big part of my life, but I really think that that near-death experience really tuned me up.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. So you're a woman on a mission now. We're talking with Emily Radovich. Her book is Mystical Interludes and Mystical Interludes 2, two different books. And what would you say is your mission?
Well, my mission is to get everybody to start noticing and start paying attention to those experiences which are indeed mystical interludes. As I said earlier, you know, until you've had that personal experience and recognize it as a personal experience, you only believe in the idea. And there's a difference. You know, you can have one of these experiences and not recognize it. And let me give you an example of that.
Okay, great.
As a result of speaking about my first book, Suzanne, everybody wanted to hang out and tell me about their experiences after a speaking event. That led to my forming the Mystical Interludes Discussion Group. Mm-hmm. We now have 40 members. We started with about 6. Excuse me. One of the early meetings, here's an example. Let me say, her name was Mary. Mary came to the meeting, and I would always ask, has anyone had any mystical interludes? And she said, I did, and I never would have known until I read your book and came to this meeting.
Oh, cool.
I have a little bit of a cough here. She said that she had been at the gym, was leaving the gym, and in conversation with this lovely Muslim lady whom she had met there. They stood in the lobby and they were finishing up their conversation. The door opened and Mary's friend Pat entered. And Pat, as soon as Pat saw Mary and her friend, her acquaintance, Pat said, oh, hello. And she just lit up and Mary introduced her to the Muslim lady and they chatted for a minute and the Muslim lady left. And Pat looked at Mary and she said, I can't believe this. Mary said, what? Pat said, I was at Bible study last night and our priest was talking about the bad rap that Muslim Americans are getting. And he asked each one of us to go out and become acquainted with a Muslim and reach out and let them know that they are accepted as Americans and that we consider them citizens. She said, on my way home from church, I said to myself, oh, yeah, sure. I don't know any Muslims. Where in the world will I ever meet a Muslim? And here she walked in, and Mary was standing there and introduced her. And Mary said, you know, I never would have recognized that. But when we parted, I thought of Mystical Interlude.
And this is the beauty of recognizing this. There's always that moment when it makes you literally stop in your tracks and go, huh, or some other word, right?
Exactly. And I asked, I said, well, then how? And the next step is realizing it. And when I say that, I mean recognizing that it is real. Mary said that after Pat left, and she started to walk away and think about this, and she said, that was a mystical interlude. And what she realized was that somehow she was instrumental in connecting these two people. And she didn't make it happen. There's something else. Something else was in control.
Yes,
and
yes.
It was loving and it was kind.
That's the thing. It gives me goosebumps. This is just the proof of this one big web of which we're all a part, and we're all instruments. We are all that. And it just shows us how we're all just playing and interweaving with each other.
Exactly. And why I feel that it's so important is because of once you start to, the more you recognize mystical interludes, the more they appear in your life. That I know because of my group. And our, we're keeping journals, and the journal just keeps growing. Well, the other thing is that...
Oh, could I interrupt you just a second? I want to tell you, Emily, that I actually have a file on my computer because I would lose notebooks. And it's called Awesome Spiritual Experiences. But that's what they are, is mystical interludes.
Right.
So all of you listening, do what Emily's saying. Keep a journal or start a file on your computer because they add up. And they add to the wonder and joy in your life and do cause you to see them more often. So,
after they follow that wonderful advice of yours, they can submit them at my website for my next book.
Why? Yeah, which would be mysticalinterludes.com, right? Oh, there's no doubt you're going to have a 3 and a 4 and a 5 because there's no end to these. And we not only love to share our stories, but we love to read other people's stories. Now, Emily, in your book, in Mystical Interludes 2, you show the ways in which your mystical interludes have enabled you to live your life fearlessly with joyful gratitude. I love that term, you know, fearlessly. I want to read for the listeners the other things in this one paragraph that the mystical interludes, the benefits that they've given you. You say that they have given you a deep faith in our Creator, taught you forgiveness, demonstrated that love is eternal, eradicated your fear of death, expanded your consciousness. I mean, whoa! And it all happens, what, just by keeping your eyes open? Is that what you say?
Absolutely. And you know that.
I know.
I don't think anyone knows that better than you, Suzanne. Absolutely.
Well, do you have a favorite story? We have about 8 minutes left in the show, so pick one that's just going to show us again more of them. You know, it's funny. I want to tell you all that Emily honored me by asking me to write the foreword to Mystical Interludes 2. And I was rereading it the other day, and I turned to Ty and I said, I don't know who wrote those words through me, because it's just like, whoa, I didn't write that, you know, so that was probably a mystical interlude because it just came out very nicely. But it's funny, I wrote in here, and I want to make this point clear. Magical moments don't lose their wonder, but they're no longer magical in the sense of being some kind of deceptive illusion. The illusion is that this world is the only reality. So when I use the word, these are magical stories, please don't think that it's something not real. This is the point. They show us what's really real.
Indeed.
So share a magical, mystical interlude with us, Emily, now that I took 1 minute of your time.
Well, I just do want to tell you how grateful I am for that eloquent forward, and it truly is.
Well, please don't waste our time with that. Just give us a story.
Okay. This comes from my dear friend Nancy, who accompanied me to your class.
Another beautiful light.
And she, yes, absolutely. She considers this transformative because through this, she lost her fear of death. And she had a few different kinds of mystical interludes here. It first happened in 2004. Nancy was then the principal of a middle school, and she was in her car, and suddenly the smell of Copenhagen tobaccoless, or smokeless tobacco, wish it were tobaccoless. Anyway, yeah. It filled her car, and she immediately associated that with her father because her dad always chewed Copenhagen, and she and her brothers and sisters always had to clean out the spittoon.
Oh,
well,
my.
This went on. This every now and then, intermittently, this would go on. This aroma of Copenhagen would show up in her office at school, at a staff meeting. It just went on throughout 2004. Then 2005, Nancy's life changed dramatically. Her happy marriage came to a devastating, a terrible end. She found herself utterly alone. She shell-shocked, these are her words, and broken. She entered that dark night of the soul that I mentioned earlier. Now, the smell of Copenhagen did not return, but something else started in her life. She found herself alone in her house. Her children were gone. And she started, she was sleeping alone for the first time, and she felt a presence, a small female presence beside her. Well, she welcomed it. She was not fearful, but it would vanish, and it would return and vanish. And the next thing you know, she, again, no fear, she felt something like a cat pouncing on her bed. And you know, half awake, half asleep, and she'd think, well, maybe it's a dog or something. But then this kept occurring. And then the cat pouncing on the bed, it felt like the cat was walking on the bed. And so this continued.
And I love this. If I could just interrupt you, many
sure.
people might freak out at that. And it's when we learn not to be scared, but to be curious and to know that we're always protected as the light from these things, that we can look at this with new eyes and say, could this be a visit? So please continue.
Exactly. So this kept going on until one, and she moved, this continued even after she moved into another house, but it came to a halt one night when she was in bed, and suddenly she felt these hands, it was kind of like tucking the blankets in around her very firmly, and Nancy couldn't move her arms, and so for the first time, she was frightened, and she said, please leave.
Yeah, I think I might have done that at that moment too, and that is exactly how to handle something like that. You just firmly say, please leave. Great.
And you're so right, because the moment she did, Suzanne, it stopped. Well, now here's the third part. After all of this, she was coming out of her dark night, and she was visiting a former colleague of hers who had lost his wife to cancer. She pulled into his driveway, and the sweet aroma of freshly baked bread just filled the car. And here again, she associated this with her dad, because on days when it was too cold for him to work, he would stay at home and bake bread for his children. And they would come in at lunchtime, and they would smell that warm bread, slather it with butter, and it was heaven. And all of that came back as she sat there, and she was so uplifted. So these were the mystical experiences she had, but here is the aftermath. And this is why Nancy chose to write about this in Mystical 2. She and her friend Garrett, whom she was visiting, fell in love, and they are now married.
Yay.
And Nancy believes, yes, Nancy believes that the aroma of the freshly baked bread was a sign from her father reassuring her that love and happiness were returning. She thinks that the Copenhagen was a heads up prior to her marital breakup, was a heads up that it's, you know, there are some dark, ugly, unpleasant things ahead. And then after she and Garrett were married, she visited a medium. And her grandmother came through, and her grandmother told her that she had been with her during that dark time, and she said, told Nancy that she was as startled as Nancy had been on that last visit, because she didn't realize that Nancy could actually feel her tucking her in.
That's awesome. Oh, I want to tell you all really quickly that I was doing a reading and one day, and my nose was completely stuffed up from a cold, yet I smelled this old moldy trunk that the client recognized, and that's what showed me that these scents, they're absolutely coming from the spirit world, and we're not actually smelling them with our nose. It's with our spiritual side, with our soul, which was just really cool. So I love that story. Emily Radovich is our guest. She's sharing with us Mystical Interludes, that latest one from her new book, Mystical Interludes 2, which you can find through her website, emilyradovich.com or mysticalinterludes.com. We have just under a minute left, Emily. And what would you say about Mystical Interludes, about expanding our world in just a few, or your heart in just a few seconds? How can you wrap this up?
Well, once you start to recognize these, Suzanne, you become more spiritual. You become more loving. For one thing, you don't have as much. You don't have the kind of stress that you had before, because you become aware that there is help. You have help around you.
That's
and
it.
And you have and love around you at all.
That's it. We are so loved. And I loved having you on the show, Emily. Thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, run out and get her book, and you will be uplifted beyond belief. Thank you again, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
What is it you really want in life? No matter what you've been through, you can still achieve it. I'm Sandra Ann Taylor, and in my Energy Activation podcast, we'll explore the science of manifestation. And I'll give you specific techniques to shift your energy in order to make your dreams a reality. I also do live energy readings, and you can be a part of the show by emailing your questions to me at sandrataylor.net. Join me on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network or wherever you get your podcasts.